As much as today is today and tomorrow is tomorrow, one day, without warning for many of us, life on this earth will be over. The end is coming, ready or not. And when it arrives, let me ask you, will you be ready for eternity? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Thanks so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. We behave as though life on this earth, our life on this earth, is going to go on forever. Of course it's not. And I know that God wants you to be ready for when the end comes, whenever that's going to be. So as we head off into God's Word today, please do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes, I'll be telling you about a free daily resource that I'd love to send you to help you get your house in order day by day. I don't know how you are in your life, but I'm one of these hyper-organized people. I have a to-do list with more items on it than I can possibly do, and it sits on my computer and I'm constantly updating it. My diary, well, that's on my computer and it's replicated on my mobile phone, and that's planned to within an inch of its life with different color codes for different types of activities. And what I tend to do is I tend to plan my time to achieve maximum throughput. My wife, Jackie, who also works in this ministry, Christianity Works, sometimes finds that a bit frustrating. She'll suggest this or that, and I'll quickly sift it through my list of priorities, things I want to do today and tomorrow. And if it doesn't make it onto the priority list, it just doesn't happen. Now, I know we're not all quite like that with our time. It's just in my nature to be that way. But more and more in this world, we're seeking to master this most precious of commodities, time. Today's younger generation, Generation Y. Why has the iPod become such a vital tool, or the mobile phone and the MP3 player on it? Well, because then they can listen to the music they want to listen to, when they want to listen to it, and where they want to listen to it. We call it on demand. That's why mobile devices are becoming so popular. Instead of waiting for a radio station to dish up stuff, some of which we're not interested in, we do it for ourselves, on demand. Music, podcast, whatever it is, it's all about taming time. I think back to the good old days when letters took days to travel from one person to another, and it took days to respond. These days we use SMS on the phone or MSN Messenger on the PC or Skype. And because of these things, the pace of life has sped up. We do more, we pack more in. Even kids these days, in many parts of the world, sit in their bedrooms with broadband, internet, chatting away to their friends. While I was preparing this program, I was interrupted with a video call from the US. One of our team there wanted to chat about a few things happening with Africa. I mean, man, the world has changed. More and more, it's on demand. Time becomes our servant rather than our master. We schedule things when it suits us. And one of the things that really doesn't suit us is this idea that Jesus could be coming back, the second coming, the end of life and civilization on this earth as we know it, a day of judgment, which we looked at last week on the program. No, Jesus coming back definitely doesn't fit with my plans or your plans for today and tomorrow. We have things to do, places to go, people to see. We have our priority lists, don't we? And so even God has to fit in with our plans. I was speaking with a young pastor of a new church that's starting up in our local area, and we were talking about when would be the best time to have a weekly service. Saturday or Sunday? Definitely not in the morning. Now, young people don't do mornings. Sunday night's not as good because people are going back to work Monday morning and they want to rest up Sunday night. Saturday during the day, well, everyone goes out shopping. Saturday night people go out, that kind of leaves Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon. Now, they're all perfectly valid considerations when you're starting up a new church. You want to meet at a time when people are likely to come. But you see what's going on here? Because there are so many other things crowding our schedules, we're squeezing worshipping God into a time that suits us. Even God has to fit into our on-demand world. It's a scary thought that more and more I ask people who believe in God, God-fearing believers, when do you spend a quiet time with your God each day? Time in prayer, time in His Word, time resting in Him and learning from Him and growing in Him. And the answer is an embarrassed silence. people aren't making the time because in the razzmatazz of a self-centered, on-demand kind of world where you and I are the center of our respective universes, well, God just has to make do. He has to fit in. Let's change the perspective for a minute. Let's put the shoe on the other foot. Remember that childhood game, hide and seek? Whoever was in would bend over and face a wall and cover their head with their arms and count to 10 or 20 or whatever the number was, while the other kids went to hide. And then, when the count was over, the kid who was in would yell out at the top of his or her lungs, "Coming, ready or not." It didn't matter if you'd run far enough or found a good enough hiding spot. The hunt was on whether you were ready or not. And that's exactly how it's going to be with Jesus coming back, the second coming and the day of judgment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written for you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." And have a listen to what Jesus had to say about his coming again. Matthew chapter 24, verses 35 to 51. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day and the hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in a field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Who then is the fruitful and wise slave whom his master has put in charge of his household to give the other slaves their allowance of food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master will find at work when he arrives. Truly I tell you, he'll put that one in charge of all of his possessions. But if that wicked slave says to himself, 'Ah, my master's delayed,' and he begins to beat his fellow slaves and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour that he does not know. He will cut him to pieces and put him with the hypocrites, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You see, we may well have the world arranged to serve us. We may well have everything coming together on our handheld mobile device. We may well be living under the delusion that God is happy to fit in to meet us at a time that suits us. But none of us knows the day or the hour when he'll return, or the day or the hour that life on this earth will be snatched away from us. And when our life here on this earth ends, one way or another, it'll be too late. My friend, are you ready? Is your faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Are you living out that new life, that new relationship with the Son of God in your life? Because it doesn't matter how well we organize our time. It doesn't matter how much we've managed to get the world to revolve around us. Jesus is coming. He's coming, ready or not. I'm Bernie Diamond and you're listening to Christianity Works. As we take this short break, I'd like to tell you about a free daily resource that I'd love to send you to help you draw even closer to God. It's called Fresh, a short daily devotional, a scripture verse with some words of inspiration, hope and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet or computer each day. You can read to it, listen to the audio or watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. God's Word, fresh for you each day. It's completely free. And to get instant access, just stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see the Fresh devotional sign-up right there at the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a free copy of the ebook, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address, in case you missed it, is ChristianityWorks.com. So go on, go ahead, sign up to receive fresh, and may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through his word. Now it seems that 99% of life is about the mundane, day after day, and it's easy to lose sight of the end game, the promise of eternal life. But there is an end game, and there's a real wonder in patiently waiting on God for that, believing in him through all the ups and downs of life. Now, we can't talk about eternity without looking at the fact that, well, we have a life to live here on this earth first, and sometimes it seems like God's taking a long time to give us the eternity that he's promised us. You know, one of the things sometimes that I wish God would do is just hurry up. It seems as though one mundane day rolls into the next. And in my faith walk, it's easy to lose sight of a majestic God and the power and the love he has for me. It's easy to lose sight of the end game, which is an eternity in his presence, an eternity with him. You know what I'm talking about? The mundaneness, the ordinariness of life can just grind you down. And in the middle of that, someone comes along and asks you, now, tell me, if you die tonight, would you be ready for eternity? And it's like that falling sensation you get sometimes when you're heading off to sleep. It casts a doubt in your mind. You know the feeling of experiencing the mundaneness of life and you think, man, am I ready or not? There's a kind of a massive gap between the eternal glory of God and the reality of day-to-day life. And that gap can be disconcerting. Well, over these last few weeks, this is what we've been talking about. If you or I die tonight, would we be ready for eternity? It's a discussion that we're kind of finishing up today on the program, and I don't think we can do that unless we talk about this gap that so many people experience between the reality of life and the glory of God. When I first became a Christian, man, I had some wacky ideas. I first read the book of Acts. This starts with Jesus ascending into heaven, and then it talks about the early church, the apostles, all that they did, the miracles. And I came to the conclusion that times were different then. It was like there were wall-to-wall miracles throughout the book of Acts. Things aren't like that now. Until I realized sometime later that the stories in the book of Acts span a couple of decades. So between all the flashbang of miracles, there were lots and lots of mundane days, tough days. It's just that we don't hear about them too much. We just get the highlights, if you will, in what is, after all, a very short book, given that it chronicles the first 20 years or so of this fledgling thing called the church. I wonder if that isn't what we expect out of life. Wall-to-wall miracles, all these amazing mountaintop spiritual experiences. And when we discover that it isn't always like that, then so many lose their way. Church, well, that's not all it was cracked up to be. My relationship with God, it's not like in the Bible where all these miracles happen. And so I don't feel like it's real. I stray away. I find other things to give me a hit. And then some joker comes on the radio and asks me, if you die tonight, would you be ready for eternity? That's why for so many, this question's kind of jarring. It smacks you in the face. It either makes you realize that you have drifted away from God, or it shines a light on this gap that we perceive between life and the promises of God. But here's the other thing I found when I really started reading my Bible. I mean, really. Looking at it not as some distant fable or pantomime story, but reading it for what it really is, a gritty story about life and God's engagement with us in the middle of that life. Here's what I discovered. A very strong thread, a theme, something you just can't miss, about persevering through the trials and persevering through to the end. You don't hear theologians talk too much about their doctrine of perseverance, I have to tell you. No wonder. It doesn't sound very enticing, does it? But it's there, and have a listen. Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 to 13. As Jesus came out of the temple and was going away, his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. Then he asked them, "You see all these, do you? Truly I tell you, not one stone will be left here upon the other. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us when this will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Messiah,' and they will lead many astray. and you will hear of wars and rumours of wars. See that you're not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For a nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All this is but the beginning of the birth pangs. Then they will hand you over to be tortured, and you'll be put to death, and you'll be hated by all the nations because of my name. Then many will fall away, and they will betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because of the increase of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. The last thing that Jesus is promising his disciples is a bed of roses, isn't it? The last thing he's promising them is an easy life. He's saying torture. He's saying death. He's saying uncertainty and wars and rumours of wars and famines and earthquakes. And in the midst of all this will come a whole bunch of false prophets, people who tickle our ears with promises of an easy life. But that's not it, Jesus is saying. All this stuff that's going to happen to you, the one who endures to the end is the one that will be saved. Some people, their love for God grows cold because of the tough times. Other people go chasing off after this false prophet or that. But here, just before going to the cross, Jesus is saying, guys, hang in there and you will be saved. We've been so conditioned to seek after gratification in this world that, well, it's not an easy message to swallow, is it? The thing I love about God is that he comes to us to speak to us through his word, the Bible, boring as though I used to think that thing would be. Not with unrealistic platitudes, not with false, unattainable promises, but with a gritty reality that shines a wondrous light even into the darkest corners of our lives. And in the midst of a time of great persecution, this was God's message to his people. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Beware, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison so that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have affliction. But be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Be faithful until death, and God will give us the crown of life. So if there's one thing that I could say to you about being ready for eternity, it'd be this. Hang in there. Keep going. Don't give up. I know some days are just awful. I know that. And some days we feel as though God is a million miles away. But his promise is to be with us till the end. And right here and right now, in the middle of the stuff that you're going through and the stuff that I'm going through, he is here with you. He is here with me. Trust this Jesus not just with your head, although that's important, not just with your heart, although that's even more important, but trust him. Trust him with your very life. And we do that by living out our faith, by sacrificing, by loving, by honouring, by encouraging people, even when they don't deserve it. There's something sweet about that. There's something godly and glorious and wonderful about persevering through the trials of life and living a godly life. This denying ourselves, taking up our cross, following Jesus. And if you die tonight, right in the middle of a rough patch, but hanging in there, doing good, believing in Jesus. And when the evidence of our faith is examined on that day of judgment, man, that is exactly what he's looking for. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. So let us not grow weary in doing what's right, for we will reap the harvest if we do not give up.
I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. I just want to take a moment during this short break to share something truly important with you. There are many people laboring under the misapprehension that they're going to heaven when they die. And yet God's word is really clear. Not everybody who calls Jesus Lord is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet called Three Things I Absolutely Must Do Before I Die. It's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you to be sure that you have the gift of eternal life. Absolutely certain. In fact, each chapter contains a series of life application questions to help you think through and apply God's word right into the realities of your life. To request your free copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, christianityworks.com, and you'll see that free offer right there at the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-book that will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. It really is that easy. But this is the very last week that this particular booklet will be available, so don't miss out. Again, that web address is christianityworks.com. Well, here we are at the end of this four-part teaching series, a sobering one if you've been able to join me each week. But it hasn't been a theory lesson. It hasn't merely been a theology class. With all my heart, I believe that today the Lord is calling you to act. So, in the few minutes we have left together, let's take a look at what comes next. Well, I'm not sure what you've made of our time together over these last 4 weeks. It's sobering stuff, this notion that John 3:16 means so much more than simply believing in Jesus from a distance. Let's have another look. John 3:16 to 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. You may recall that in that phrase, whoever believes in him, that little word in literally means into Jesus. In other words, not some vague intellectual assent to the proposition that he is the Son of God and that he died for our sins and that he rose again to give us eternal life. Not that. But actually taking this amazing gift of grace to heart and trusting him with our lives and living our whole lives for him as a living sacrifice. The Apostle Paul hits the nail on the head in his letter to the Roman church in the New Testament when he writes in chapter 12 verses 1 and 2, I appeal to you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. In other words, what he's saying is, look, all the mercy of God that I've been writing to you about in the first 11 chapters of this letter, in view of that great mercy, get on with it. Give up your old ways and become a living sacrifice. That's how you worship God. That's what God is looking for. Instead of continuing to let the world stuff you into its mold, change your mind about how you're living. Change the old attitudes that have kept you away from God. It's only when you do that, that you'll discover the amazing plan of God in your life. The good, acceptable, perfect will of God. God's not looking for a bunch of pew warmers. Pew-sitting believers who drag themselves along to church week after week to sing songs and listen to sermons. He's looking for disciples, people who are prepared to get off their backsides and get out there in life and live out their faith no matter what it may cost them. And one day when either we breathe our last breath on this earth or when Jesus comes back, whichever of those two is going to be, let me tell you, the end of life here on earth for you and me is going to sneak up like a thief in the night. And on that day, is Jesus going to find us living out our faith in him, living out the mercy that he's shown us, living out a life that demonstrates we've taken his grace and his mercy and his commandments to heart? Or is he going to find us asleep at the wheel? As we draw to the end of this series, I want to leave these sobering words from Jesus himself with you. Let the Spirit of God take them and do the work of God in your heart and in your life. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. And again, Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? The difference between a pew-warming believer and a disciple is this. The pew-warming believer wants to accept Jesus as their Savior, the one who brings them eternal life. But that's where it ends. The disciple, on the other hand, says, wow, in view of these mercies, I need to get on and live my life for Christ. Let me ask you something. According to Jesus' own words, which one is he looking for to spend the rest of eternity with him? A pew-warming believer or a radical disciple?
If you die tonight, my friend, would you be ready? Would you be ready for eternity?
Well, that's pretty much all we have time for today. But before I go, there's something very important that I need to share with you. Our passion here at Christianity Works is to see your life powerfully transformed as you draw ever closer in a rich, dynamic, powerful relationship with Jesus. That's exactly the sort of relationship that I pray you'll be living in with the Lord. So let me encourage you to check out the treasure trove of practical, relevant, and life-changing Bible teaching available at our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. It's full of free resources to help you draw closer to God. So dive into the Media Lounge and watch our weekly Christianity Works TV broadcast or the daily fresh devotional videos. Everything's been conveniently categorized so that you can filter the content to quickly lay hold of the teaching that you need for what you're going through today. Remember, everything on the site is free, including that book that I mentioned earlier, Three Things I Absolutely Must Do Before I Die, and that fresh daily e-devotional. With all my heart, I know that Jesus wants to have a powerful impact on your life, to bring you His joy, His peace, and His power. So go on, head across to our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time next week, with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.